You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
17th chapter this morning. Thank you, musicians. 1 Kings 17. Notice, if you will, again, what is to many of us a very familiar story in the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. God has sent a famine in the land. This famine God has sent through a prophet by the name of Elijah. God had put a word in Elijah's mouth that would shut up the heavens to the point that not only would it not rain, but through the word of Elijah, the land would not even see dew. And so there is, in the midst of this word being spoken, a great famine that is again taking place. And God has, through the famine, sustained the prophet Elijah. He has sent him to the brook Cherith in the beginning of 1 Kings 17. And God is allowing the prophet Elijah to drink from the brook. And so he is drinking from the brook day in and day out. God has commanded a raven to feed Elijah in the morning and in the evening to bring him bread. And so Elijah is being sustained again by the brook Cherith. And he is also being sustained by a raven who is bringing to the prophet in verse 6, bread and meat in the morning. And he is again drinking from the brook. Could you imagine drinking from the brook that is flowing? And in the morning, you're not waiting on your wife to fix you something. You're waiting for the ravens to bring you, come on somebody, bread and meat. Now notice the raven itself becomes a giver, because the raven does not consume what is meant for Elijah. Come on. Even the ravens know better than to eat certain bread. This bread is for the prophet. This meat is for the prophet. Oh, God, surely you smarter than a raven. The raven knew that, hey, I'm not to touch this. I am to take it to the prophet. Amen. And so it's Bible. And so the brook dries up. The brook dries up and the ravens stop coming. And we're going to look at verse number 9 and verse number 13 as a conclusion, as what happens when this takes place. Notice that the Bible, God says to Elijah, arise, I'm in verse 9, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Arise, get up, Elisha, and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Notice that I want you to dwell there. I want you to stay there. See or understand, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now notice again how God is taking care of the prophet. First, he lets him drink by the brook. When the brook dries up and he is feeding him through the ravens, when that stopped, God said, okay, now you need to go to Zarephath, because I've been talking to a widow there, and now she's going to take care of you. But notice verse 13, something amazing happens when Elisha arrives in Zarephath. And Elijah says to her, he's asking her to do something. He said, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. And so what had taken place is that when Elijah asked her for water, she is willing to go get the water, because the water is something she has plenty of. And if you'll study Zarephath, and if you'll study Sidon, it was known for its great water supply. So even in a famine, Sidon was wet. Come on, somebody. Sidon was not dried up. And so when Elijah asked her for what she had, she didn't mind giving what she had plenty of. But when the prophet had the nerve, the audacity to say to her, fix me a morsel of bread. Oh, see, now it's getting touchy. Now you wanting what I only have a little bit of. Now, come on, somebody. Now you trying to get me to go into my secret stash. Now you want me to pull from somewhere where I really don't want to pull from. And so he says this to this woman. He says, and she says to him, look, I'm gathering of some sticks that I may go in. I'm going to prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. This is our last meal, Elijah. You don't understand what I'm preparing. What I'm fixing right now is only enough for me and my son to eat it. And then we're going to prepare to die. But and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. Notice this. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Take care of me first and then do for yourself. I ain't getting many amens this morning. But notice the problem, the reason why she couldn't do it is because she was fearing. She had allowed the spirit of fear to grip her heart. And it was to the point to where she was looking to die rather than obey God and sustain the prophet. But notice what Elijah says to her. He knows if he is to get her to obey God, because her key to receiving her better or her divine provision was in her obedience. Come on, somebody. It was in her obedience, not what she could or could not do, but your blessing is in your obedience. Sometimes we miss little small things because we don't recognize your blessing is in your obedience. It's really not the amount that matters to God, but that you are willing, come on, somebody, to be obedient. Come on. But he knows she has to stop fearing first. And so based upon that, I want to teach from the subject, divorce fear. Divorce fear. She has to divorce fear so that she can obey God and do what she needs to do to get her blessing. And so this morning, again, the morning subject is divorce fear. Look at somebody and tell him or her the subject this morning. Divorce fear. Tell it to two more folk. And as you are, let's give God a praise as we are preparing to receive. Come on, let's give him a praise. Now we already been teaching, but let's stay in that vein. This woman has a problem. Her problem is that she has something attached to her that doesn't need to be attached to her. And Elijah knows if you're going to be obedient, you have to get rid of that. You have got to divorce fear. Number one, to divorce means, and I know we primarily look at divorce as just being marital, between a husband and a wife. But I only want you to just focus on the word divorce itself in order to receive what God has for us again when we speak to you about divorce fear. Number one, to divorce means to separate or detach oneself from something. Notice that when you divorce fear, you are going to separate yourself from fear. You are going to detach yourself from fear. Pastor, why am I going to do it? Because according to 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible is clear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so whenever a believer is in possession or is attached to the spirit of fear or has allowed the spirit of fear to get attached to them, you have to understand that that spirit did not come from God. Oh, come on. I said that spirit is not of God. And Paul the apostle again made it so clear, so plain when he wrote to his son in the faith, a man by the name of Timothy, allowing Timothy to understand that when it comes to the spirit of fear, it is not of me. And you have to understand that's important, because James says that every good and every perfect gift is from above. See, when it comes to the spirit of fear, it is not good. It is not beneficial. Come on, somebody. And therefore, when it comes to a believer, we don't want to have the spirit of fear. And I come to tell you right now, when it comes to me, I don't want anything hanging around me that ain't supposed to be around me. Come on, somebody. I don't want nothing around me. Again, I better just say it for myself, that ain't supposed to be around me. And a matter of fact, everywhere I go, I watch my surroundings. I don't want anything to get too close to me that doesn't need to get. Oh, yeah. Some of you're sitting there looking as if, Pastor, I allow anything to get attached to me. I allow anything to get close to me. But see, I got an alarm system that goes off in my head or in my spirit anytime something gets too close to me. I get uncomfortable, because you're in a zone that is free right here. You are too close. Oh, come on, somebody. Can I keep it real? See, I know how to tell things and people, hey, back up. You're a little bit too close to me. Because I found out, when you allow things to get close to you, you can mess around and get comfortable with something being next to you that's not even supposed to be in your vicinity. See, I don't want anything that makes me doubt God. I don't want to get too close to anything that tries to make me wonder about the God that saved me, the God that changed my life. I don't need anybody getting too close to me, trying to talk a bunch of trash, a bunch of nonsense to me. Oh, I wish I could get some more amens in here. Somebody that you watch your surroundings. I don't need this to get close to me. I don't want to get too comfortable. And so you have to learn sometimes in life, when you do allow things to get too close to you, that you got to know how to separate. You got to know how to detach this thing, which is the spirit of fear. And also, when it comes to divorce, it has to do with to distance or disassociate from something. And again, whenever you get too comfortable with the spirit of fear, you will see it as that which is normal. You will see it as that which is okay. I'm okay not believing God. But how can that be, and you call yourself a believer? Don't you know, to really be a believer, one needs to believe? Can I take it farther? You need to believe in that which you cannot see with your natural eyes. Come on. And I'm glad that we have saints of God that know how to believe on that level. I'm glad that we have some saints in this church that know how to believe God past what your eyes see. You know how to believe him past what you might be experiencing. Come on, I'm preaching about some of you. You know how to label things temporary, but you also know how to label what's permanent. You know the difference between that which is temporary and that which is eternal. See, all of my trouble is temporary, but the God that I serve, he is eternal. Oh, can I preach it right? That means there's a timetable on trouble. There's a timetable on trials. There's a time God will allow me to be afflicted, but then there's a season where I gotta experience deliverance, watched it by his hand. Come on, somebody. So that means there are times that God has to allow us to get in trouble so that we'll know he's capable of pulling us out of said trouble. Has he ever did it for anybody? Did it for somebody this week. He turned something around that you ask him, God, do this. Have your way in this situation. Then you got a phone call and they said everything is looking better. You knew it was your prayer. You knew it was. But sometimes we have to disassociate with certain things and certain people. Again, so that we don't become comfortable being around something that's not good for us. Let me teach you. Because whenever you become too comfortable with the spirit of fear and you allow it to attach itself to you, you are going to be overcome by it, which means that the spirit of fear is going to influence you. See, whenever people get overcome by the spirit of fear, it is the spirit of fear that begins to influence them. The way that they talk is based upon the spirit of fear. What they will do and what they will not do is based upon the spirit of fear. And so I want you to see the spirit of fear as a chain attached to your ankles that only allows you to go so far, and it will pull you back in, or it will remind you that you have reached your limit. Come on, somebody, I'm talking right. But when there is no said chain, when you believe that with God all things are possible, you don't even utter out of your mouth that the sky is the limit. No, because you know that God lives beyond the sky. Come on, somebody. I try not to utter nothing out of my mouth that's contrary to the word of God. Am I talking to you this morning? And so notice when we get to verse 9 in 1 Kings 17 that the word is plain. When God says to Elijah, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I have commanded a widow. I have charged the widow. I have commissioned the widow. I have ordained the widow to provide for you. So go there, Elijah, because she has been commanded by me to sustain you. Listen to me. So God has directly or indirectly allowed this woman to know your assignment is to take care of the prophet. That's what your assignment is. But see, understand that the spirit of fear is a disruptor. I said the spirit of fear is a disruptor. She has received her assignment. She knows what she is supposed to do. She has been given, again, directly or indirectly, divine instruction. But again, the spirit of fear is a disruptor. It interrupts obedience. Why is that so important, Pastor? Because Isaiah says in Isaiah 1 and 19 that if you are willing and obedient, come on somebody, you'll eat the good of the land. And so when I give room to this disruptor, and it interrupts me from obeying, now you are messing with how I eat. Because if I'm willing and I'm obedient, I'm going to eat the good of the land. Listen, despite what's happening in the land. See, ain't you glad that God didn't base how we eat on our job? Oh, come on. You ain't glad that he didn't base how you eat on the economy? On who's in the office? Who's at the highest supposedly seat? Ain't you glad that he didn't base it on what your enemies think you should and should not have? No, he based it on my obedience. Listen to me. That's the reason nobody can ever hinder you from having what God has ordained for you to have. Because he didn't base it on what they could do. He based it on your willingness Oh, come on, somebody, to obey him. But because the spirit of fear has overcome this woman, it has become a disruptor. And now it is interrupting her from obeying. Do y'all see that? It's interrupting. It's causing problems. But notice, when Elijah gets to talking to her, in verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed or truly, a widow was there gathering sticks. So when that Bible says to us, indeed a widow was there, that means what God said to Elijah was so. Come on, remember what God said? Go to Zarephath. A widow is going to sustain you. Guess who he sees when he gets to Zarephath? A widow. But here's where God will often put a twist on things. It wouldn't be nothing to arrive in the city and see a widow. But I really want to dissect the text. She's gathering sticks. Pastor, why is that important? That's the work of a servant. That is not what a rich woman would normally be doing. She should have, come on. If she is wealthy, then she has somebody to gather her sticks. She doesn't have to. So his first appearance of her, I'm not limiting a wealthy woman from working. We know the virtuous woman was a business-minded woman. But just from Elijah's viewpoint, she's out here gathering sticks. So what's going on with this woman? Let's take a little bit further. He called to her, I'm in the latter clause of verse 10, and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, being obedient, right? See, sometimes you'll think you're something you're not. And so instructions are going to tell you who you are. See, some of you will do anything God tell you to do as long as he's telling you give a dollar. You ain't fighting God over no dollar. A dollar? But what do you do when that dollar turns into 1,000? Now we gotta see what's going on with God. See, some of y'all, you changed then. Now we rebuking the devil. You know, some of you get, not all, but some. It's mainly the ones that drop in the head right now reading the Bible, though I'm not in the Bible at this moment. Some of you okay with God asking you for certain things. But don't you challenge me. I say, don't challenge me. Woo! It's gonna get tight in here for a minute. Y'all gonna hang in here. And as she was going to get it, Elijah was smooth one. He knew he wanted more than the water. But that's the only thing he put out there. For, hey, can you get me something? Let me get something kind of throat dry. A little water. Hey, no problem. She had to recognize him as the prophet. I didn't receive commandments about you. Oh, water? Yes. Uh-oh. Y'all here, ain't you? Yeah. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me, he's nice about it, me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin. A handful. A little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now all of a sudden, she knows the future. But she's negative in reference to the future. You ever notice that about people who have the spirit of fear? Yeah, they'll talk about what's going to happen, but none of it is good. She's predicting her death. Who said anything about dying? This is what you got to figure out in the text. Who said something about dying? When did dying come up? That's the spirit of fear talking. And tell your neighbor, believe me, the spirit of fear will speak to you. Come on, I need somebody to just know that's real. When you're going through something, the spirit of fear will talk to you. But because this spirit is not of God, listen carefully, the spirit of fear will always say what's contrary to what God said. See, God ain't talked about her dying. This is the spirit of fear. This is how the spirit of fear has overwhelmed her, and now it's influencing, y'all come on, how she's talking. And it's happening with some of us. You are saying what you're saying because of the spirit of fear. That ain't what God told you. Come on. It ain't what God told. And she is also allowing the spirit of fear to cause her to call God a liar. What did God tell her she was going to do? Sustain the prophet. Listen. How can she do it from a grave? I'm finna drop one on you. How can she do it broke? If she is supposed to sustain the prophet, then she needs something to work with. I'm trying to drop it on you. I said I'm trying to drop it on you. She has to have something to work with. And see, that's all you need to tell God. When he give you instruction, just give me whatever you want me to work with. Oh, I know I'm dropping one on somebody. That means if it's $10 and that's what you want us to work with, then so be it. It's going to happen with $10. Boy, I'm trying somebody in here. You sitting there to my pastor, you can't get nothing with $10. No, you can't get nothing with $10. But what God is able. What's so special about God? He'll put favor on that $10. I said he'll put favor on that $10. But why are you talking about dying? Who told you that? Who told you you wasn't going to get it? Who said the job wasn't yours? Who said the healing wasn't going to manifest? Who told you you wouldn't get the promotion? See, I'm in the house right now. Who told you that? But see, it's just like saints to put themselves down. God done spoke over this woman that you're going to sustain the prophet. But see, notice again, the spirit of fear is demonic. got her talking about dying. And notice what she's basing it on. A little bitty three-letter word. She says it to the prophet. And see. S-E-E. See. See. She wants the prophet to know she's not lying. See, I got a handful of flour. See. See. What's the theme scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by, not by. What is she walking by? And see. I got a handful of flour. I got a little oil in a jar. She's talking based upon what she sees. This is why believers don't live by common sense. Because according to common sense, everything she's saying is right. But because God is bigger than common sense, and because he never ordained his children to live by it in the first place, we have a problem. And see, some of you, you base what you can do on your common sense. You base what you can have upon what you can see. Even if God spoke to you that you in a year of rewards, you will still go by what you see. Or what you are experiencing. Listen to me, because I'm trying to bring home a point. That's how powerful what you see can be. And when she talks about Deacon Johnson, that little flower, that little handful of flour, that little oil in a jar, she ain't lying. Remember when I told y'all about that restaurant? I believe that's where they stole the name. She was not lying to Elijah when she said, this is it. Now you woke up. She basically told him, this is it. After this, there's nothing else. You better listen, because if you miss this, you won't understand that you are ordained to live not just based upon what you can do. See, this didn't bring us into something real good today. But if you miss this, you're going to keep living or existing based upon what your power can do. See, God trying to take the church to another level. Stop living based upon what you can do. And stop trying to put limitations on what I can do. Notice Ephesians. We got to go here. Notice Ephesians. Remember when I told you spirit of fear is demonic? Remember 2 Timothy 1:7? God said, for I have not given you the spirit of fear. Notice Ephesians. Turn down to the book of Ephesians. This is important. We need to see this one. We need to see this one. It's time for some of you to stop living based upon what you make an hour. Oh, Pastor, what you mean by that? Ephesians 4:27. Notice this. Notice this. Ephesians 4:27. Time for you to stop basing your healing on what's in your medicine cabinet or your medicine drawer or what you can get at CVS. Come on. She says, see, see, I got a handful of flour. I got just a little oil left in the jar. I'm going to prepare this meal. It's going to be our last meal. And then I'm going to wait on death. Woman, what's going on with you? Notice Ephesians 4 and 27. If the spirit of fear is demonic, if it's of the devil, notice what Paul tells the church. Ephesians 4, 27. Nor give place to who? To who? The spirit of fear is of the devil, right? So nor give place to the spirit of fear. Don't give the spirit of fear space. Don't give it room. Don't give it opportunity to rule in your life. Come on. But see, the spirit of fear primarily attacks, listen, saints, our senses. It attacks our senses. And we reason based upon our senses. You draw conclusions from your senses. Who told you wasn't going to be able to do it? Pastor, I'm just looking at everything that has to happen in order for me to be able to do it. I got to cross this bridge, which ain't nobody crossed, by the way. That's another story. But I got to cross that bridge, and then I got to cross a place where they ain't even built the bridge to get over that path. So that's what I'm saying. It's a whole lot. But he is known for doing a whole lot. Tell your neighbor, when it come to God, he is known for defying the laws of physics. See, God will so move in your life that he will defy the law of finances. He'll defy the law of nature. Oh, somebody ain't receiving. Spirit of fear is attached to you. It don't want you to divorce it, but it's got to go today because it's disrupting. I wish somebody helped me preach it. Tell somebody, spirit of fear disrupting stuff. Can y'all sense it like I can? It's causing problems with people. It's causing folk to miss out on rewards. God got a miracle with your name on it, but you... Do you know what's embedded in me right now? That God want to do something this month for somebody. Listen, that people say it wouldn't be done till next year. God said, no, I want somebody to believe me so that we can go ahead and close this out this month. I want to do it this month. Well, look at that disruptor. Look how he got you sitting there with your hand folded and you needing something to happen. Ooh, spirit of fear done locked some folk down. They can't get up and praise right now. They can't get up and say, hallelujah, that's my word. It's got to happen this. Remember what I said, spirit of fear talk to you. He telling somebody, that ain't you. That ain't for you. That ain't for your family. Be seated. You know what that means? That means something good gonna happen for me this month. Something you've been trying to make happen. God done showed up through the prophet and said, get out of my way. This is bigger than you. Get out of my way. You can't open this. Get out. See, the spirit of fear attacks your senses. Back in 1 Kings, it attacks our senses. Spirit of fear speaks through people. Come on, somebody. When something starts attacking your body, and from a natural standpoint, you don't really know what it is, spirit of fear comes.
Spirit of fear coming. Anybody ever been going through something in your body, didn't know what it was, and then seen a commercial? If you or anyone you know, and you feel in the room by yourself, you be like, I've been doing that. I've been feeling just like that. I got that. Spirit of fear talking to you. Come on. Some of us, every month that you sit down and do bills, when you decide to sit down, when the spirit of fear allows you to sit down. Because sometimes spirit of fear won't even let you go to the table. We went months, years ago without talking about bills, and all of them were behind. Primary reason we didn't talk about it, I didn't want to hear it. You need to tell me what you want to do about the electric. I've got to. Not now. Doggone it. We're watching TV. Not now. It's going to work itself out. Hold on. I'm really teaching. Because sometimes what we call faith is the spirit of fear not even wanting us to face an issue. Then when I finally say, let me have it. Oh, what I say that for? She said, oh, you can have it all. Give them to me. Car note is such and such. Mortgage. Another car note. Loan payment. Credit cards. I don't really like no calculator. I'm going to use my said fingers. And 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. And carry the 2 makes 4. No. Oh, calculator. Donna. How we been making it? We had. So then I developed within me, when I would go look at things, what that taught me was, don't get in over your head. And so when I go to possess stuff, how much is that a month? Oh no, there ain't nobody paying that much. I can't. And see, I started living like, I started living like this. I started living based upon what I could do. But then God showed up and God said, are you a faith walker? Do you trust me? And I ain't telling you to get yourself in nothing, just doing something by yourself. But when God tells you to step, your neighbor, you got to do what he tells you to do. But tell somebody, but before you can move, you might need to divorce fear. Detach yourself from fear. Kick fear to the curb and let fear know, I'm gonna be who God said. I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm gonna have what God said I could. I'm going to do what God said I could. I'm in divorce court and I am divorcing fear. I'm talking to somebody. God got more for you. God got better for you. This is your year of rewards. Lord have mercy, I'm trying to close it, but tell somebody divorce fear. I need some preachers in the house. Tell two more folk divorce fear. Look at somebody just sitting there and tell them get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. I need my bona fide preachers right now to look at somebody that looking like they don't want nobody to look at them and tell them get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it, get. It's got to go. It's got to go. It's hindering stuff. It's a disruptor. It's got to go. It's got to go. Be seated. I'm finna call. But see, when you divorce the spirit of fear, man, you start doing stuff you never thought you'd do. It ain't like you just looking for a house. But you're looking for a house in a neighborhood where it said you don't qualify. But you're up in there more than folk that stay there. Because when you divorce fear, it has a way of allowing you to get free. When you've been tied down all of your life. See, I'm preaching this morning that some of you been raised wrong. It ain't what you can do, but it's what God has ordained to do through you. And he told me to preach real hard so that somebody will divorce fear and you'll recognize that it ain't time to die, but it's time to live. Tell your neighbor, it ain't time for me to die. Tell him, I don't know about you, but it's time for me to live. For me to go beyond what I thought I could do. I'm getting ready to close, but somebody needs to hear this. God getting ready to move for you. And in moving, he gonna blow your enemy's mind. In moving, God gonna take you to another tax bracket. In moving, he gonna make stuff work out. I know you said 1 + 1 = 2. But when God get to moving, throw your calculator away. Throw your mathematics out the window. Because this is supernatural. I'm preaching about God showing up doing stuff that man can't explain. He about to take your little and give you a great reward. Tell somebody I believe it and I receive it. I dare you to run to somebody and high five them and tell them I believe it. See, you know something going on. Because we ain't ran and high five nobody since COVID showed up. But God say, tell them they got to run to somebody. They got to decree. This is my month. Go to somebody and say, this is my month. It's your month, single mama. It's your month, daddy. This got your name on it, mama. This what you've been waiting on, leader. Refuge, can y'all act like this our month? I'm closing with this. Elijah told, go and do what you said, but make me something first. And the only way she can go and do it is if she divorces fear. She has a detached fear in order to move and do what this man has said, which is of God. Listen. The moment she divorced fear, listen to me, the moment she divorced fear, she started going. See, because there's something about getting the right divorce that even from a natural standpoint, some of my folk that have been divorced they'll tell you how it freed them. And so now she's moving in liberty. Could you imagine her going, doing it, taking it, giving it to the prophet? And then when she put in the prophet's hand what she was supposed to put in his hand. Some of y'all ain't ready for this, but you better get ready. Because see, we keep waiting on a truck to come and back up and drop off millions. But I'm a witness for what he can do when hundreds just keep coming in. When hundreds just keep. I'm a witness of what you can do. When I ain't talking about a truckload of a million. I'm talking about. Do you know what a continuation of fives would do? See, so while you sitting there waiting for your truck or your ship to come in, I'm over here just working with whatever he sends in. Huh? That's a word, Sister Pam. I'm just over here working with what he sends in. And see, every morning, she didn't go nowhere different. She went back to that same flour. She went back to that same jar. But somehow every morning, Minister Gamble, it renewed itself. See, I've been living like that for a long time. Just God just renewing things. And see, every morning, there it is. Then the Bible messed around and said something that blew my mind. The Bible said, and she and he and her household. Now somewhere she done grew. Because at the beginning it was just her and her son. Now Bible talking about her household. You know what I believe happened? I believe it got to running over to where people heard, hey, we heard you got flour. You got oil. Come on. Come on. See, what I'm telling you, it's amazing how when you divorce the spirit of fear, it ain't just about what God gonna do in you, but it's how he gonna use you to be a blessing to others. So do you hear what God is saying? This is your month. And God is going to position somebody that for the rest of your life, you'll be the type of person who's always helping others. Who's always somewhere being a blessing to somebody. And tell your neighbor, by the way, being a blessing is bigger than the church. God ain't just ordained for you to come here and be a blessing, but at your house, on your job.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.